here again, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Dwayne Brummett and Allie Alberigo here. Allie, nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you as well. I mean, it's Monday. I love Mondays where you and I get to chat because it's motivational for me. And I just came off of relaxing over the weekend, which I got a chance. Well, actually, not the whole weekend. I had in Lama Lobsang Palden, who is a Buddhist monk from Tibet, at my school, which was just a really magical experience. And then Sunday, I got to relax a little, enjoy my yard that I've been working on for the last year and a half. So that's kind of cool. And here we are, you and I chatting.
Yeah, and thanks for the pictures for your yard. I know last week we were kind of going back and forth, and you were showing me all the construction that was going on. So that is it all finished?
It is. I just now have my little cosmetic things, you know, some little landscaping and, you know, fixing up that stuff. But, yeah, all the construction, the cement work, all the patios are in, the driveway, the steps, all that's done. So now it's just like yesterday I added some planters and, you know, made it look pretty. And, you know, I was sitting out by my pool, even though the water was ice cold. It's like swimming in a mountain lake. But I jumped in and lost my breath and then, you know, came out and laid in the sun for a bit. So, yeah, it's really good. And yeah, I definitely, I'm excited to enjoy the summer.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I our summer hours hit in the beginning of June, and our kids' classes go from our 45-minute classes to half-an-hour classes, and my adult or my black belt classes move from an hour to 45 minutes, and so we run a faster program in the summer, so a little less curriculum being taught, but it's, you know, taught a little bit faster. But anyways, so I'm excited, for summer to hit too, and plus our summer fun and all that other stuff. Hey, I know we got certain things to talk about, but I want to let you know, and I don't know, well, maybe it's not necessarily too late for school owners, but every year I do an anti-abduction class at the end of May.
Right.
And I always start promoting it at the beginning of May, and we're what now, like in the third week of May?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2 weeks, I just wanted to, because you and I haven't even talked about this, but in 2 weeks, we already have 62 people signed up for the anti-abduction course.
Wow.
And those are 62 people that are not students, because our own students go anyways. They don't have to register. And, of course, those are going to be 62 people that we're going to talk to about our summer special. And our summer special has only been going for a week now, and we've got, I'm taking a look here, we've got 14 3-4-5-year-olds. We've got 9 6-12-year-olds, and then we've got one teen already. So I don't know how old the teen is, but it could be 13 to 17. But just, you know, in a week of, you know, pushing it. So it's exciting. You know, I think last year on our call, maybe in May or something, we talked about that the summer doesn't have to be, you know, boring, and it doesn't. I mean, you can do things, and it's still not too late, especially for an anti-abduction class, to get people in and promote that and get some free publicity on radio stations, because you're doing it free for the public, and, you know, press releases to your local newspapers, and heck, maybe they'll even come in and do a story during it and take pictures and also interview people that took the course, which would be awesome for school owners. Anyways, I wanted to throw that out there at you. I know that's not what we're talking about today, but
you always have great ideas, and that's a really, you know, something that we should just kind of maybe do, like a top 200 ideas or 100 ideas of all the different ideas we have that we use to promote and grow our schools, grassroots marketing type things, because you do really well with that. So let's definitely do that as one of our future calls.
Sounds good. Hey, I was talking to a business owner here in town, and when you guys were, you know, when you were here, I took you to the restaurant that he owns, and it's only been open for 2 years, and it's called Koi. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great.
And his daughter goes to the studio, so she was up for leadership, and we did a leadership interview, and after the interview, I always speak to the parents about, you know, obviously there's an extra cost to it and a commitment and all the other nuances that go with it. Well, after that conversation, I, of course, asked him how, you know, his business is going and those type of things, and he had talked to me about the fact that, you know, he's working 7 days a week, and I said, well, talked to him about, you know, taking some time off and when do you close? And he said, obviously the major holidays he closes. So Memorial Day, Labor Day, he's closed. Easter, he's closed. Or no, I think Easter he was open. I think so. And but anyways, you know, I was saying, well, I close probably about 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks out of the year. And of course, my business is a little bit different than his. A martial arts business is a little bit different. But and I told him, I said, you know, I used to be just like every other school in our county, open on Saturdays up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon and all that stuff. And I said, now I don't even work Saturdays. I don't even have classes on Saturdays anymore. The bulk of my classes are Monday through Thursday, and then I have private lessons and special events on Friday. And I mean, the only I do birthdays on Saturdays, but I don't even teach those. But you know, so I was telling him those things, and I said, you know, what would it cost you, you know, to just take every Sunday off? He's like, well, I don't have anybody to, you know, he says, help for him to find that help and make sure that it's managed while he was, you know, while he took Sundays off, he says, is really difficult. And I guess I should draw this out for people, is that he owns a very high-end, would you call it a Japanese sushi restaurant? Is that kind of what you would
definitely
call
be a
it?
Sushi restaurant? Yes, that's sushi restaurant, like high end, you know, just a high end Japanese restaurant actually, because they do everything, not just sushi. But it was just, it really was a high end restaurant. Like I took photos of everything because it looked beautiful, the decor, the layout. It was just really top notch.
You, it's funny because when you walk out of there, it's because I've lived here all my life. So when I walk out, I'm like, man, I'm still in Bourbonnais, you know, but it's like one of those type of things. And, but you know, he was explaining to me just how important, the fish for the sushi is treated and the type of fish that you get in, and it's got to be done a certain way. And I mean, I knew that it did, but I didn't understand everything that went along with it. And of course, managing the staff and those type of things. But I asked him, I said, you know, what if you were to just close on Sunday?
Yeah,
just totally close on Sunday and not be open, and it's kind of scary. I do remember, you know, times in my life, and I know we're going to talk about this, but times in my life where I couldn't see through the forest. You know, this tree that was in front of me just was so massive that I thought the tree itself was the forest. If that makes
right.
sense. And so I told him, I said, hey, take a look at this. Go back every, and he's only been open for 2 years. So I said, you go back for the last two years and see what you've made in total on Sundays, for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Or even the last year. But then take a look at, you know, how many extra employees do you have to have because you're open 7 days a week, you know, as opposed to if you were going to only be open 6 days a week, could you get rid of an employee? Could you get rid of two employees? How much
right.
did that, those employees cost you? Not only just in their hourly wage, but in taxes, and I mean the whole deal, and or if you have health insurance for them or what have you, and just see which one weighs more. And I told him, I said, you know, look, if it were me, and I at the end of the year, I was only making, you know, $5,000, $10,000 more per year by being open on Sunday, or even $20,000, I might just close and eat that amount. And because some of those individuals will just not come on Sunday and come a different day. And I don't know if he just didn't think of that, like, yeah, maybe they would come to a different day. But I wanted to share that on the call today because I've been there before where the tree seemed so massive that I couldn't see anything else but this tree, and the tree became the forest. And I know that, you know, you were speaking about this before we got on the call, and I was like, hey, we got to press record because you and I basically kind of had the same experience. Do you want to share with yours?
Yeah, well, you know, and first off, I have to say, too, I mean, because you and I have spoken, and I've also mentioned this to certain clients of mine, that I said, you know, first off, you have to build a model of what you want in your life. Like, for example, you wouldn't, well, some people do, I mean, but you wouldn't normally put yourself into a situation that is upsetting, torturous, you know, bad for your health, you know, take away from your family life. And just because you own a business doesn't necessarily mean you have to work yourself to death. Now, you built your business and you said, I'm going to be open Monday through Friday. I'm not going to open up on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm open on Saturdays, but very rarely will I have a Sunday thing going on. We do have a Sunday morning kickboxing class, but I'm not there for it. It's one class and then, you know, the dojo's open and closed, you know, so, but, so you build the model around what you want in your life and then you could build your business around that model. However, the other point is that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be there as an owner. I think a lot of us think that sometimes we, you know, like this restaurant owner, he's doomed to being there 7 days a week. He never gets a day off. He's always, you know, working. And that is not necessarily true either. If he finds the right people, he could go home and, you know, spend 3-4 days a week with his family if he chose to, if he got the right manager. So with that being said, I think that's, you know, that's an important fact to think about. Because right now, I'm literally running my schools, and I am there only on a Wednesday and a Saturday. I stop in, I watch them on the monitors, I keep an eye on what's going on in my schools. I teach when I want and what days I want, and I don't have to teach. Sometimes I'm not in my dojo for a week, maybe two, if I felt sick or didn't feel like going in. So I built a model where the school runs itself and has good people and is continuously growing and making money and teaching great martial arts skills. Right? So that's an important thing for everyone who's listening to really understand.
Yeah, and I, it's funny because I told him, I said, you know, look, when you actually close those days, those holidays that you do close, I said, how do you feel? He says, well, I feel great. He says, and he goes, the biggest thing is, like, I know it's closed. Where, like, nothing, it's not that I'm not there, it's closed, where nothing can happen there. I mean, unless there's a fire or something, nothing can happen to go wrong. And I said, yeah, I said, it's wonderful. Go ahead.
I get you. I understand that feeling because even though I have people that, like right now, I'm looking on my monitor and we just did a morning kids class, a morning adult class, and now my staff is done and they're sitting, I'm watching them on the monitor texting on their telephones, they're about ready to close up and leave. However, you are right, there is a certain tranquility and peacefulness when we know that the school is not open, that there's no chance that someone's going to get hurt or an issue is going to happen. There is a peacefulness to that. But I have to say, though, it took me a while for me to actually learn how to have that same peace and tranquility with my school being open and me not being there than it did with it being closed. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that sound? So I swear when I pulled myself and I extricated myself out of the schools, I felt guilty. I swear to you, I'd find myself driving and then turning to the dojo. Like I'd go, I'm not going to the dojo. My mind would just automatically, subliminally take me there. I mean, I was always, you know, back in the day calling my staff, you know, what, and I still to some extent are all over the telephone and all, and following up and checking in on a regular basis. But it took me a while to not have that guilt of being there and not being afraid to just let it run and operate on its own and do its own thing. It took a long time, and it took a lot of soul searching to be able to do that.
And part of it is obviously the staff training, picking the right person and making sure that they're trained properly.
I think that's not part of it. I think that's all of it, right? I mean, having the right staff member, that people that you can trust. And you know what? Not everyone will always be, you know, somebody you could trust, or, you know, and you may trust them. And you have to feel comfortable with knowing that you may trust someone that may screw you or may not do their job right. Because if not, you'll never, ever let go of the reins, so to speak, fully. Of course, monitor and watch and make sure they're doing it correctly. Stay on top of, check the numbers, you know, and don't be ignorant. But at the same time, you can't have that fear inside of you to say, like, should I let go? Because if I do, they may not do their job right. And that's another control issue. It's putting the systems in place so that all things are covered, whether they need, you know, something may go wrong or not.
Yep, I totally agree. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and my conversation was interesting because I dealt with a school owner early this morning where everybody, you know, that I coach has, well, when I say everybody, all the people that I coach have different types of mentalities, right? Some of them are more controlling. Some of them more, you know, are more lackadaisical. This school owner this morning that I chatted with was more of a mindset of where he was always focused on the issues that were stopping him from doing what he could be doing. And I'm sure, Dwayne, you've dealt with people like that. It was almost like seeing the cup as always being half full rather than, you know, half empty, or half empty rather than half full, I should say. And it was a struggle for me this morning, because no matter what, I'd say, hey, all I want to do, identify with me the three things that you find that are an issue, 1, 2, and 3, A, B, and C. So they'd say, this is an issue, that's an issue, that's an issue. And I'd say, okay, how are we going to solve it? And then, bam, it was right back to a totally different problem that created an issue that created these three steps that needed to be corrected. And I'm going, okay, we've already identified what the problem is. How do we now take those three steps and put them in place and fix them so that we don't have the problem anymore? And, bam, we were right back to what the problem was. And I'm going, we could talk about the problem all day. I know about it. I want to know the three solutions, the three steps that you're going to do to change the problem. And quite often, some people see everything as a river, and I say maybe it's just a little puddle. When I teach martial arts, I say there are lots of speed bumps in life. You know, you go through a shopping center, there are speed bumps. Most people don't understand what a speed bump is for. Some of them fly through it at 40 miles an hour, and you just hit it with their car, and the shocks bang real hard, and they zip through the parking lot ignoring the speed bumps, while others slow down so slow, and they just don't get through the parking lot eventually, while others realize they recognize a speed bump is to slow us down so that we could take recognition and awareness of what's going on around us to make sure that we know what we're doing, so that we're aware of people and, you know, shopping carts and you know, walk people pulling out with their car or walking through. That speed bump is there to create awareness. So these problems are there for us to create awareness so that we can fix them and you know, move forward. Does that make sense?
It does. I always tell my staff, don't ever come to me with a problem without a solution. Because
right.
Otherwise you're complaining. And I do that because, one, sometimes they have a better idea than I do of what needs to be done, because they are in it every single day, going through it. And it's a beautiful thing, because then I don't have to come up with a solution unless I think that, you know, it's not the right solution. Otherwise, we run with it. And it's important for us as school owners to have that mindset that we – we're not complainers. We can't
right.
be complainers.
And
go ahead.
I have a friend who's very wealthy. He runs a $50 million shipping business, and he's fired people because he makes it very much well aware that work for him, that there are no problems. There are only situations. So if someone comes to him and says, I have a problem, he says, no, we have a situation. And he says that he's fired many people who cannot see situations, and all they see is problems. Right, and that's the truth. You know, you have staff members where they may have better solutions to the issues than you might think of, because they are in the trenches every day. However, sometimes when people are in the trenches, they can't see beyond it, right? So that's something that they need to think about. So sometimes, as you and I, as coaches, we could sit back and just hear, and it's easy for us to just go, this is what I see, and do this, 1, 2, 3, and 4, you'll be done. Everything will be fixed. When somebody could take months to figure that out because they're stuck, because they're so in it that they can't see past it, if that makes any sense.
Well, it certainly does. And the other thing that goes along with it is there's just some people, unfortunately, have pity parties, and they're not willing to, you know, stop having that party and get
right.
the solution done. It baffles me. And I'll give an example, which I am proud of my wife. I'm really proud of her now. She would go to this hairdresser, and
right.
this hairdresser would, the very first time this hairdresser did her hair, did it beautifully, exactly what she wanted, the coloring, the styling, everything. Ever since then, this hairdresser can't get it right. And it's not that my wife is picky. It's the fact that it's the same color job. It's the same haircut. How do you mess that up?
Right.
Now, I'm no hairstylist. So I want to give a little bit of grace there because I don't, you know, when you're working with, I don't know, 11, 12, 100 clients, I don't know, in a month, you may forget what the other person, you know, what their cut is. But I know when I work with students and I've told them that they need to change this or change that, when I see them again and they make that same mistake, I'm like, look, Johnny, I told you last week that you need to fix that, you know? So, and maybe I'm weird that I can just remember that. Well, anyhow, long story short, you know, my wife would come home and she would complain about it. And I was like, you know, one time I was done in the car.
Yeah.
She had already complained earlier. Let's say it happened on a Monday and now it's a Thursday and she says something about her hair again. I said, are you talking about your hair? And she goes, yeah. I said, I don't want to hear it. Like I was that done. I know that sounds bad. I know that sounds horrible. Anyways, I told her right there and I said, I don't want to hear it. I said, you know, that one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. I said, but not only are you doing that, I said, you're paying for it.
Yeah. However, the first rule, though, is when women tell you something, you're really only supposed to listen and not solve. So you screwed up there because I've gotten in trouble for that a lot of times. So
no,
they just vent sometimes. Go ahead.
Well, everybody wants to vent sometimes. I get that. But, I mean, I was like, and you know, it's our money. She's spending our money on something she doesn't like. So, anyways, long story short, I said that twice now, is she now has somebody different. She and I think what the other catalyst to this was that our daughter's wedding is next weekend, and she doesn't want her hair to be messed up for the wedding. So now she's going to the person who she originally said, you know, maybe I should go to this person because I know she'll get it right. And I personally know that she'll get it right too.
Right. So,
but that's how, and she's been getting a haircut, I think, for the past couple of years with this lady. So I'll hear it every 6-8 weeks over and over again. And I'm glad that I won't have to hear it anymore, but it's an example of us that we, you know, we want something different, but we're not willing to do it. And obviously, I know part of it was she is a family friend. Like the hairdresser is a family friend of ours, and she didn't want to do that. I said, but you just, you know, you can't. You can't keep going there with that. And for us as school owners, I think the takeaway from that is that it's sometimes hard. I mean, think about when the first time you kick somebody out that said they can no longer train with you. I can remember being a smaller school owner, and that was tough. We were such a tight-knit group at that time, and I had to do that. But yet it was so liberating to be able to do that and then coming up with a system on how I was going to, one, hopefully not ever have to do that again, but if I had to, this is how I was going to do it. Because I didn't want to have to go through that again, but I wanted to have a protocol so that then therefore I don't have to think about how I'm going to do it and mull over it and worry about it. I can just do it. And it's, again, I mean, I it's not easy. It's still not easy to let people go, but it is necessary, and I understand it.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. You know, and I look at it like this too. It's where, you know, sometimes within our businesses, our schools, there are a bunch of situations that may arise, and, you know, speaking of firing people or deciding on whether we're going to be open 5 weeks, you know, the most important thing is, and Dwayne, you interviewed me years and years ago on a different platform, and we talked about rules, and I talked about what are your rules in business, like what are your business rules? In other words, I don't know. Let's pretend that I owned a gym, and like for example, there's a gym near me. I believe it's called Blink, they have a certain dress code where, you know, you're not allowed to be wearing, you know, belly shirts, and the women can't just have on sports bras, and they, you know, and the guys can't be in certain clothing, and that's their rule. You know, and that's a rule. It can't be broken. It can't be misinterpreted. They have the right as a business to decide on whether that rule is being met, and if not, they can refuse the right to serve clients that don't meet those rules and that obligation. That's freedom of speech and freedom of press and freedom of everything in our society. However, so we don't have rules within our school. There are no rules for how a student should act, or there are no rules on return policies. We don't have rules on financial refunds. You know, we don't have rules on pay in full. You know, do people pay in full and halfway through they quit? Do they get their money back? You know, there are no rules. So we need to start looking at our business as a series of rules. And also, you know, what's our rule? If someone calls up and sets up a trial and we don't call and they don't show up, what's our rule? How many times do we call them back? Or do we call them four times and send them a letter? What is the rule? Everything is nothing more than a series of rules within our school. And everyone should start thinking about how their business is set up and what their rules are. That's really the way I look at everything.
Absolutely. And when something, you know, when there's what I call a broken window, you
right.
not only fix the window, but you figure out why it got broken in the first place, and you put rules in place so that they don't continue to get broken, or that specific window doesn't continue to get broken.
Right, exactly. Like, for example, we used to run back and forth in our dojo, and people would run into the walls, and then they'd kick a hole in the wall with their feet or punch a hole with their hands as they were stopping themselves from running. So it's always been like our dojo has red tatami mats wrapping around it. The rule is once you hit the red, you stop. Even if they're grappling and they grapple onto the red, they stop and they go back to the green. It's our safety barrier around the entire wall. If people ran and ran into the wall, we would yell at them. That's not how you do it here. You stop on the green, which is the green tatami mat, and you right when you get to the red, you turn around. So we established rules. You know, that's the way it had to be for safety, for protocol, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's important for us as business owners to start thinking about our business that way, and how do we, you know, set up rules that are clear. You know, I'm a Monday through Friday school. People, when they join, if that's what you tell them and they're okay with it, they're not going to complain. You know, you have to start understanding who you are and what you do, and then build your business around that. And, you know, anyway, back to what I was saying too, you know, it's the same thing, and it goes to people seeing things a certain way. Like a school owner may think they, or a restaurant owner may think they have to be open 7 days a week. You were telling that guy that he doesn't, because many other restaurants are closed on Saturdays or Sundays in your area, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then not, yeah, there's a place called Blues Cafe. It's never been open on a Sunday. It's been open, gosh, for 47 years, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been here forever. And obviously there's other restaurants, like even the fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A, that's not open on Sundays, yet they still seem to be profitable. Hobby Lobby is not open on Sundays. They still seem to be profitable. So, I mean, and those are just obviously some quick ones to throw out, but the one that, you know, probably would relate to him more would be the restaurant here in town that I said, and then Chick-fil-A, since it's a restaurant as well, even though it's not a high-end, you know, Japanese restaurant, but it's still
right.
applicable. And I honestly think that people would just, you know, move to a different day. Oh, I can't go there on Sunday, so I'm never going to go there again. I told him that's not going to happen. He's built such a great reputation for himself. I mean, I personally have never had a bad meal there. I have not ever heard anybody say that there's a bad meal there. There's another Japanese hibachi type restaurant that opened up here in town too. And he says, well, I have competition now. I said, no, you don't. I said, they don't do what you do. They don't. I mean, they have the hibachi, and yeah, maybe they have some sushi, but they don't have the sushi. People that eat sushi, they know what good sushi tastes like. And
right.
I mean, I had some when I was in Universal Studios, and we went over spring break, and we were down there, and there was a place called Cowfish, and they had sushi there, and I ate it, and it was nothing, not even close to what Koi is. And I told him that. I said, so you're not going to lose business that way. I mean, you're going to lose business if you don't serve your customers like you've been, if you don't have the high quality food like you've been. Other than that, you're not going to lose business.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? That there you go. Just like you're not losing business because you're open 5 days a week instead of seven. I mean, the people who like you will stay and they'll be customers. And hey, listen, if they absolutely needed to do martial arts on a Saturday or Sunday because that's the only 2 days, you might not be the school for them. And that's just the way it goes. However, some people will say, you know, I love this school enough, or I love this restaurant enough to be able to go. I'm gonna just go during the days that they're open. That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for, you know, I think the takeaway for us with that specifically is, number one, and I did say this to him. I told him, I said, you need to create the business that you want. I mean, you do obviously have to be open. If I only wanted to be open from noon to one every single day, I wouldn't have a business. But I know that most of my clientele come at night. I have to be open at night, but I only want to be open Monday through Friday night. And I want the bulk of my classes Monday through Thursday, and then, like I said, special events and private lessons on Friday. And I said, for you, you need to come up to the decision of, you know, what is it that you want, and build your business around that. And yeah, you're not going to open up at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's not going to work for you. You know, even if you really wanted to serve sushi from 8 to noon and that's it, you're not going to have the business that you want. So you do have to service the customer to a certain degree, but you can bend the rules. And in fact, most successful companies do bend the rules, meaning that they do tailor it around what it is that they want a little bit more than the traditional companies do.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I don't really have much more to say other than that. That was exactly it. You just got it. That's really a matter of, you know, again, back to whether, you know, you set up the model for your business. That's really what it is. I mean, you know, you just said it. You have to be open in the evenings. You know, that's part of where your classes are. If you said during the week, during the year, you're going to have an 11 to 12 o'clock teenage class, it's not going to happen. And you're going to probably say, maybe I need to market this better. Maybe I need to be more appealing. Maybe I need to work on my branding and my website. No, no, no. None of that's going to help because the kids are in school at that age. And they're
right.
Never going to be able to come to you at 12 o'clock. Unless they're homeschooled and that's a whole other market, then maybe you could reach out to them. But other than that, you know, that's really pretty much where you're at. So there are certain things that we could get away with and certain things that we can't. But again, going back to that, I really, my takeaway is that not everything is a river that you can't get over. Think of everything as a speed bump. Speed bumps are there to slow you down, to take notice of what's around you, to recognize and think of solutions so that you could figure out what's going on with a clear head. If you can't seem to do that yourself, that's okay, because sometimes when we're in the trenches, we're in the blender, we can't see past it. So we have to then at that point start thinking like, okay, well, what can I do? What can I, you know, or who can I get? A coach, a consultant, a outsider, a friend that could see what's going on to give me a little bit more clarity, and then have an open mind enough. Like I had a problem with the school owner this morning where I just could not get them to listen to my solutions of the A, B, and C, 1, 2, and 3. They just couldn't get it. They weren't really understanding it at all, not really getting my point. And no matter what I said, they went right back to, well, this is reason why that can't work, or this is the reason why I can't do this, and not hearing at all what I was saying to them, right? So as school owners, let's definitely, you know, listen to what we have going on, and also if we can't figure it out, enlist someone's help. Dwayne and I are available. Anyone who's listening and you want to run a problem or a question by us, feel free. Just email it to us. Submit it, and we'll discuss it, and we'll help you.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
Well,
cool.
Everybody, you know, that's listening to the call, understand that no problem is unsolvable, and the question is, do you want to solve the problem? Or do you
right.
want to just complain about it? And I like what Zig Ziglar says. You know, the thing about pity parties is, you know, some people like to have a pity party, but the problem with pity parties is that, you know, not a lot of people come, and the people that do come usually don't bring presents. And so,
right.
you know, why even have that type of party then?
Right, exactly. Well, cool. As always, Dwayne, great call, great conversation. I enjoy it. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully everybody out there is getting something out of this. And thanks for being on the call with us. I mean, this is like what our this we've done like 50 or 60 calls already, right?
Yeah, I think this is number 42, so close to it.
That's a lot. That's huge. I mean, that's really awesome. So good stuff. And almost a complete year of us doing phone calls, really. That's pretty awesome. But yeah. Very cool. Thanks for everything. I appreciate being on the line with you, and thanks for sharing with us. And we'll talk next week.
Yeah, everybody share this with other school owners, especially the ones that you know that complain a lot and not just all their problems.
Exactly. All right, cool. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.